take those of you who might wish on some tour of some part of the library. Well, you've heard three colleagues. They have not rehearsed this. They didn't talk to each other. And yet, as you can see, there's some very much overlapping concerns and at the same time very, very divergent one. And this is your chance to ask questions or make comments.
Might we now hear the answer?
We've been in this job for at least 6 months.
how do we begin to address the problem?
Well, the problems are formidable. I think they're also very interesting. I mean, you know, I think the one thing we can't do is to wallow in despair, because if you do that, which there's a lot of hand-wringing going on in libraries right now. One of the things that David hinted at is, of course, a greater collaboration between libraries. I mean, this is forcing that. But it's not as easy as it may seem. For instance, if you said, well, this library will, meaning Yale, will buy all this stuff and we'll buy all that stuff and so on, which perfectly reasonable, and of course we are exploring, but there's a point where the availability of the material is terribly important. And if every time you need the material, you have to get Yale to send it to you, and we have to send it then, the cost actually of doing that may be higher than purchasing it in the first place. So there are all sorts of very complicated marketing issues here. The other is that I think the techniques that all three really have talked about mean that the libraries must also be concerned not just with the collection, but also with the production, so to speak. We used to, for instance, have films in the undergraduate libraries alone. They are now visual materials in almost every one of the libraries, which means that you have to have visual machines and so on and so on. I have not a clue how we're going to go. I think collaboration certainly is a point. We need very much the advice of the faculty at every moment to make sure that whatever economies we make are those that are really the least damaging. But that's about as far as I can tell you at the moment.
Mark?
Oh, and where does the electronic storage and retrieval stand now of things like your physical journals? I mean, you have databases, as you say, because they were done in the business world. Why can't those same kind of techniques be used on your physical journals?
Well, I don't know to what extent. My impression, I'll confirm you, this is that at the moment, this is not at all widely done. I mean, I've used electronic techniques mainly for literature searches, that kind of thing.
Well, but with a company like this technology now, you can store an enormous amount of
it. Yeah, that will.
And you can search in so many different ways now. It seems to me that's pertinent to the kind of thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, we can search, although I think it's, I'm not sure where it's done. I mean, I go to the library and tell them what I want to search for, and I get back a list half a day later. It's certainly not online. I think we're a long way from having journals on compact discs.
Having encyclopedias on compact discs.
Yeah, but that's a different matter. I think it's a different matter. I mean, I have some colleagues here who are librarians who know a lot more about this than I do, but it seems to me that that's quite a different matter to have kind of basic fundamental research things such as encyclopedia, as opposed to a sort of evanescent literature in a certain way, which is the journal which is here today and gone tomorrow for the most part, except what you really would want if we had, I think, superb technique would be the way to retrieve that 1% that David was talking about. Because after all, I mean, most of it is not worth keeping.
But Alain, you wouldn't print it. You'd print it directly onto some kind of electronic medium, right, in the printer. You don't need it in graphic form to start. Okay.
Well, without getting into too many details, I think one of the problems has to do with copywriting. That's one of the things that libraries are very concerned about. Another is that some of these techniques, although they may be much better, are also much more expensive. So there is you may gain some space, but the technique itself is... just is not as prevalent. But I think one of the things that Don said is very important here, and that is that there are many, many areas of scholarly work in which there is not yet a great interest on the part of the of a publishing world, because it does not have the kind of payoff, so to speak, that it might occur in some others.
Is there a move among the universities, all of the universities, to combine their resources and put all of this on database?
Well, yes.
Instead of getting together to, you know, cull out what's not valuable, using scanning devices, et cetera, and then all share the same database.
Well, we belong, Cornell belongs to something called RLG, which is the Research Libraries Group, which has 40 libraries, most of the major libraries in the country with a few exceptions. And there's a tremendous amount beginning now of attempting to look at this as a global issue. But it is a very difficult thing to do for lots of reasons, partially because of these are new things to be doing and habits die hard, partially because you have very intricate financial considerations, partially because the general strategies are not so easy to come by. For instance, well, this is on a different subject, but right now libraries are very much involved in preservation. You know, what should we keep? And stuff is being disappearing every day because of the acid paper. And it's very hard even for scholars to determine what it is of all the things you want to save that you should save, is because what may be very important for this scholar is trivial for that other scholar. So, yes, the answer is, of course, that has to be done. But the process, I'm now looking at it for the first time, as in, you know, coming in from the outside, is infinitely more complex than I would have ever thought.
There's a distinction to be borne in mind here, too, between access, simply bibliographical access to the titles of articles and the names of their authors, on the one hand, and on the other hand, to the full text of the article, say. And at Cornell, we are now in the throes of trying simply the first kind of thing with respect to the card catalog, to bring the, simply to provide an electronic card catalog, and then by extension a shared one with other university libraries. And that alone, quite apart from having access to the texts of all of those books and articles, that alone is such an enormous task. We are not, I mean, we haven't entirely seen our way out of it. And no library, anything like the size of Cornell, has got to the point of being able to provide that kind of thing, let alone the actual encoding or scanning of the texts of all the kinds you'd like to find. The publishing industry is very conservative and traditional in many ways, too, and especially university presses, who are the people publishing many of the kinds of books that scholars need to use. And until they make certain kinds of technological steps, it will be very hard for us to capitalize on the possibility of access to the documents themselves, I think. Scanning machines, for example, which we use to the extent possible, are still only 90% good for more or less straight text, and there's a limit to how much of that you can tolerate. And then the minute you start dealing with scientific equations or musical notation, scanning simply goes out the window, and you're faced with the need to have somebody sit there and keyboard it all. And if the publisher didn't do that to start with, produced it by more or less traditional methods, then you're talking about getting somebody to type over all of those articles. So probably that second stage is really a good ways off, given how long it's taken us to get simply to the point where we can produce a bibliography by electronic means.
Yeah, I think we're way behind where we could be, given the existing technology. I mean, for example, when we write papers in physics now, of course, you write them on a computer, they're on disk. It comes out, your manuscript, indeed even your rough draft, comes out so beautiful that frequently it's a disappointment when it actually appears in the journal. But you do not, except in a very few cases, send the disk to the journal. You take the disk, you run off the manuscript, you send the manuscript to the journal, and they do the whole process all over again because they have a different text editing system than you do. They introduce all kinds of mistakes. And it's crazy. I mean, things have to get better. But
I think
it's
one
gonna
of
be
the problems
a difficult
with
process.
The publishing is that publishers are resistant to the new technology. They're used to printing something on paper, and they know where their income will come from. When they print it in electronic format, then at that point they don't know where their income will be coming from. So they're a little concerned. But one of the things that we've seen is there are more magazines on computers, paper magazines about computers, than there are actually magazines printed in computer format. And that's one of the things we've seen.
Alan, the articles on physics are on compact discs. Couldn't the Cornell University Press be pioneers and
start a new journal? Another
not a journal, a compact disc service with these articles.
There has been some discussion, I've just had one the other day with Bob Barker about the possibility of universities becoming in a sense, editors, which is, I think, what you're saying. And that certainly is that's a consortium of universities. No single university could have the kind of money to do that.
One thing I think that is about to happen without any publishers at all is people exchanging manuscripts over computer networks. I mean, for example, if I'm collaborating with a paper and somebody at Ohio State now, and at the end of the day, I take the latest draft, send it to him over the network, and he works on it there, sends it back to me. Now, you could do that with finished papers, too. And if you wanted a copy, assuming everybody was using the same system,
problem would be copyright. How do you copyright? Because you would want credit for it in the scientific community, right?
The role of copyright in scientific articles has never been clear to me. I mean, it seems to be something that publishers are very concerned about and authors typically aren't. I mean, your name appears on the paper and people know that you wrote it and you don't make any money on it.
Why people aren't so concerned.
Yeah. Yes, it might have something to do with it. Usually you pay to have it published. I mean, many journals have page charges.
Because I know some of you have other, we take two questions and then the bells have not been quite as terrifying as I've been led to believe. But if you have one or two questions, this might be the moment and then we would break up. Well, the bells have stopped. It seems to have silenced everyone. I think I speak for all of us in thanking three colleagues to give you a sort of lived sense of what it's the excitement and, of course, some of the difficulties that attain. Most importantly, I think, it's kind of a cliche, but I'm afraid that like many cliches, fairly accurate. We are in a great period of transition. There's no question, and this is not just in libraries, but in so many other forms, and what libraries have to do, what we all have to do collectively, is to try and understand how we can best go from one particular era to another, picking up, because I think Don's remark was absolutely right. I don't see new things replacing old things. I think I see new things very much adding to old things, and it's that richness and that mixture that we have to keep alive. And I guess with help of the faculty and some librarians and some of your help, we'll move on. Thank you, all three of you, very much.